Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Seven minutes past six here in Chicago, 720 WGN. Phil Minicky for Dave Plyer. He's an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, one of America's top consumer experts, contributing editor at Consumer's Checkbook. He is the Consumer Man. Welcome to WGN, Herb Weisbaum. Herb, how are you today?
Hi, Phil.
I'm good.
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
People have a lot of questions with it being tax season and everything. 312-981-7200 is the number if you have some questions. I'm going to jump right into federal stimulus payments. And do you have to pay taxes on those?
Let me point out, I'm not a tax advisor or a tax consultant. I'm just trying to answer with the article I did on checkbook.org some of the common questions people have. So let me just explain that right away.
Got it.
And a lot of people are wondering if they do have to pay money on that. And a good answer, the good news is no, you don't. The economic impact payments, as they're technically known, are not considered income. They're like a tax credit. You were given an advance on a tax credit, and the money was just given to you up front by the government as opposed to having to put it in with your tax return to get the money there. So stimulus payments are not considered income. They won't reduce any refund you might have coming. They won't affect any reportable income that you might have when it comes to qualifying for government assistance or benefit programs. So that's the really good news here.
Sounds good. You mentioned you're not really, you know, a tax expert. With Consumer's Checkbook, what do you guys do?
Consumer's Checkbook is basically, as I describe it to people, a consumer reports on a local level. So while Consumer Reports may look at the best siding or the best paint or the best roofing materials, Checkbook looks at the best service providers, the best roofers, the best plumbers, the best veterinarians, the best kennel services in seven major cities in the country, and Chicagoland is one of the cities where we publish. I write General Consumer. They just brought me on about a year ago. I used to be with NBCNews.com and the Today Show and CBS, so I've had a wide background of consumer reporting, and I just do general consumer information that they decided to add to the website for people to be able to once a week get a really important consumer story that's not related to a product or service. It's related to stuff you really need to know.
Ooh, could be a lot of questions there. Again, the number 312-981-7200. It's all unbiased, right? Unbiased reviews.
Absolutely. This is not like other things where people pay to get on the list or do something. This is ratings based on first of all, we do have undercover shoppers that go around and do things, mystery shoppers, and also from ratings from people, thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in the various cities. And then also for the Checkbook researchers look at complaints to the Better Business Bureau, agencies in your state, if there's complaints and that kind of thing. So it's a pretty thorough, and then they look at both price and quality. So there's two separate ratings, what people value as if they get a good value for the dollar, and then also if they're happy with the quality of the work. So those are the two things that are looked at. By the way, I want to point out one more thing before we leave the stimulus checks, and that is a lot of people, as you may know, didn't get their money. They either didn't get the first check, or they didn't get the second check, or they may not have gotten as much as they think they were owed based on what they saw published in the news stories about what the breakdowns were. If that is the case, you need to file as part of your return the recover rebate credit. That's how the government's handling this thing. So basically all the money has gone out now. So if you haven't gotten your money direct deposit, by check, or debit card, that's the three ways they basically did it. If you didn't get your money and you think you were owed stimulus money, then you have to file and get the form Recover Rebate Credit. You file for that, and you ask for the money you didn't get. The tax brackets that they used to determine the money were the 2018 and the 2019 tax brackets, because that's all the IRS had at that point in time. And if for some reason your income dropped, as has happened to so many people in 2020 because of the pandemic, maybe you got laid off, maybe the income dropped dramatically, you can also say to the IRS, hey, I didn't make what you thought I made, because now here's my figure for 2020, and I want to claim more money than you gave me because you didn't give me enough because it was based on my 2019 or 2018 returns when I had a really good year. I was flush. I didn't do so well in 2020, and you can get more money back. So it's really important that you figure out or to get some advice, talk to somebody if you're not really sure what to do. But there may be more money there than what you already got from the federal government. It's really important for people to know.
That's a great thing to bring up. That's in my notes here on your in your article that I think a lot of people have been affected by that. There's no question about it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No question whatsoever. I mean, you know, look at how many people were thrown out of work during the pandemic and whatever. So, yeah, absolutely, that's changed.
Right, right. Next, again, just a question about tax stuff. You should find a tax expert to do your taxes, I'm thinking, right? That's kind of the bottom line here, right?
No, not necessarily. If you, I know a lot of people who do it with the TurboTax or H&R Block or whatever. The programs have gotten much, much better. They really do cover a lot of stuff. The advice I want to give people listening is, and there are links in my story, which is on checkbook.org, or everything's on my website, consumerman.com. There are links to these things, but there are free programs that the IRS has. You may be able to file your program for free and use these top-notch programs that are designed by these companies, but they worked out a deal with the government that people who make less than $72,000 a year in 2020, so that's your adjusted gross income, can use this free file program. Get all the stuff you normally get paid for. Very underused program. I mean, like a fraction of the people who could benefit from this actually use this program. And there are also places that will help you for free. They will actually work with you and help you prepare your taxes. The AARP Foundation Tax Aid Program. There's a volunteer service called VITA from the IRS. There's all these programs that will help people based on your income status, and some are for seniors, some are for people with pensions. Again, it's a lot of stuff, but it's all with this article and links right to these programs with my story on checkbooks. But no, you don't necessarily have to use a tax preparation service. Some people feel more comfortable. If you have complicated returns, absolutely. If you have a home office or a home business, you know, you might want to, that's where you might want to bring somebody in. But a lot of people now with the standard deduction, it's been raised so high, you just take the standard deduction and you're basically done with. And that was the whole purpose when they changed the tax law. So not necessarily you need to pay somebody to have it done for you.
Got it. What was the one you like most that you mentioned? Where do we get that?
Of the paid services?
The free? The free one from the IRS. It's from the IRS, right?
Oh, the free, yes. The IRS has what's called a free file program. So if you go to irs.gov/free file, they list all the programs there and what they will do for you. I mean, the big names are there, H&R Block and TurboTax and Tax Act and Tax Slayer, all the big programs. And they've done this. Believe it or not, the backstory on this is there's been a push for years to say, why do we need these companies to do their taxes? Why don't we just have the government, who has all of our information, why does the IRS just send us a bill and say, here's what you owe in taxes? That's been a push in Congress for years. Well, these companies, if they're making gazillions of dollars, they don't want that to happen. So they said, okay, here's what. We'll work out a deal with the IRS, and we'll do it for free for people under a certain income level, and then don't do that. So shut that down. That's how they were able to shut that down in Congress, this push to have the IRS, which is would be a very simple and easy and elegant way to do it. You could always challenge the numbers, but you'd start off with what the IRS sends you. They started this free file program. And for folks listening, do you have a state income tax in Illinois?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so many of these free programs will also let you do, there may be a little minor extra charge to do the state programs, but using the same data, you can do your state return as well. My advice is if you want to do free programs, don't Google, because a lot of these companies have what looks like free programs, and what they try to do is upgrade you to pay for this, pay for this, pay for this. If you want to use a truly free program and see if you qualify, and you can even file for free, it's do it and file for free. Just go to the IRS webpage for free file, irs.gov/free file.
Sounds good. You mentioned something that we're going to cover next, and that's scams, as we talk with Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man. More next here at 720 WGN. In Chicago. Phil Manicki in for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. The name of that song is The Bandit. It's by Kings of Leon, which leads us to our next topic of scams. As we continue with the Consumer Man, Herb Weisbaum, if I get one more freaking call about my automobile warranty, oh my goodness.
You haven't gotten the ones that we're going to lower your interest rate on your credit cards, and we're going to you have a package waiting for you at FedEx, and we've just shut down your Apple account, which I don't have one. And oh my goodness gracious, yes, robocalls are annoying as hell.
They're annoying, but it's sad that people fall for it. You know what I mean?
And yep, that's the entry point for the scammers now. They get you with these robocalls. Absolutely.
Now, is there legislation about that? I thought that there was at one point, and what's going on with that?
Well, the problem is that these are con artists and they're fraudsters, and most of them are outside the country, so they don't, and they're committing a fraud. They're trying to commit a crime anyway, so they don't really care if there are laws on the books. So what's trying to be done is technology. The phone companies, which were very resistant to doing anything to help us, have finally realized that this is beyond annoying to people. And so the cell phone companies have really been good in trying to block these kind of things. They used to make you pay for all this technology. Now they, in many cases, are giving it free to the service, or they're blocking them before they even get to you. Landline phones, not so good. They haven't been really interested in, I've done stories on doing anything, because they're in the process of changing from copper lines to all internet service, so they don't really care. There are some really good blocking services if you have VoIP telephone technology, like I have through Comcast. I get one of my phone services through VoIP, over an internet protocol, like Vonage, that kind of thing. It's called Nomo Robo, NOMORobo. I know the guy personally who founded the company. He won a prize from the Federal Trade Commission about, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever it was, when they had a contest to get a robocall blocker, and he won the contest. And it's absolutely free. So you can use it on your VoIP phone, and he also has a version. I think it's $1.99 a month or something for your cell phone. But there is technology out there to help you block these kind of calls. The key is you just have to be smart enough to realize that many of these are government-related. So the Medicare, Social Security, IRS, none of these people will ever initiate contact with you, the taxpayer, the American citizen, via a call. They start with good old U.S. snail mail. So that's how the contact starts. So if someone calls up and says, I'm calling from Medicare, I'm calling from Social Security, I'm calling from IRS, whatever that is, you know right away that's a scam, hang up. And I don't know of any legitimate call that I've ever received that starts with a robocall. I mean, there are some robocalls that are basically good. I want to know when I have a doctor's appointment. I want to know when my prescription is ready at the pharmacy. And I sure know in 5 seconds what that robocall is. My plane's late. I know what that is. So not every single robocall is bad. It's a snow day today. Chicago schools are closed. Your kids aren't going to be picked up. It's these other ones that start off with, you know. And they're so good now, Phil, that they're using artificial intelligence. Some of these calls now, the computer can hear what you're saying and have different responses based on. I mean, I know I said to one, oh, you're a scam. Oh, no, sir, I'm not a scam. This is a legitimate call.
Really?
That's how good they've gotten with computer technology. They got AI responding to you in real time. Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty scary. One thing, if it's okay with you, I wanted to share with you and your listeners regarding scams. It's a story I'm literally working on as we're talking here. I'm going to file it tomorrow or the next day. It's related to the unemployment insurance scams, you know, that took place all across the country.
Right.
Where the fraudsters stole all the money.
Yeah, yeah.
People are getting, what's happening is people who are ID theft victims, and based on my research, and I'm going to say in my story, we're talking 10 million people across the country, at least 10 million people, have gotten 1099-G forms. These are forms that indicate to the IRS that you got some kind of other income that wasn't earned income, like unemployment benefits. These poor people are getting these forms. They know the IRS has been told that they've got this money. Some of them are getting it from multiple states. They didn't get any money, and they're freaking out and trying to figure out what in the world they do so they don't get taxed for these benefits that a con artist stole and they didn't get. And the best advice is for anyone listening who has this happen is you've got to contact your state unemployment office. They all know about this. They've all got information up on their websites, and they've got it. And you've got to ask for a revised 1099-G. Tell them you were a fraud victim and you want to have that happen. They may send you a revised. When these guys are so backed up in my state, Washington State, they had a backlog of 10,000 requests for this in January, and they're only down now in March to 5,000. Gives you some idea of how backlogged they are.
Wow.
If that doesn't work and you have to file your tax return, the IRS says file it. Don't put in the money that you didn't get. Just file it, and everybody will work things out later. But this is a gigantic moose that is going to totally muck up the system for a long, long time. And I mean, we're talking tens of billions of dollars these guys stole, and they still have your personal information. So you don't know what they may do other things down the road. So this article is going to get published in the next day or two, and it'll be on my website. The easy way to find it is consumerman.com. Every checkbook story goes up right there on my website. And if you sign up for the newsletter, which is free, you'll get an email from me. A lot of WGN listeners, I have a huge amount of WGN listeners who signed up. Every week we get a note from me saying, here's the latest consumer news, and it's a good way to keep you up to date on what's going on.
Cool. We look forward to that. You mentioned AI. Now, they all of these robocalls, a lot of them, ask you how you're doing. This is, you know, Larry from whatever. How are you? And I always say, I want to share this because I think everyone should do this. I'm not interested, Larry. Thank you. And I hang up. Is that cool or what?
Right. I think the best idea is to hang up because surveys have shown, and people who have done this thing, fraud experts say, the longer you are on the line, the more likely these guys are to get you to do what they want you to do. In no way, shape, or form do you ever interact with one of these robocalls. So they'll say, if you don't want to be called again, push 2 and you'll get on our do not call list. No, they don't have a do not call list. They're con artists. If you push 2, that tells their computer, we've got a live working telephone line and somebody will answer the phone. Call these guys more often.
Really?
So if you want to get more robocalls, push the number, push 2 and tell them you want to get on their do not call list, which is really your call them more often list.
Wow.
So, yeah, and don't ever call them back. Because they are, I mean, you know, you do broadcasting for a living. They do scams for a living. They do this 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. They know every trick in the book. They know how to pressure you. They know how to bamboozle you. Once you get on with these people, they will do what they want to do, which is steal your money or your personal information.
Jeez.
So you never return the call and you never push the button. You hang up the phone, which is the best advice.
And you never say the word yes, because they have that on record and they could splice it into a call and say, well, he agreed, right?
In the old days, they used to do that. I have no idea if they do that anymore because these guys are taking in such bucks without having to do that. I don't think they even respond anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would never give any kind of positive indication absolutely whatsoever in case that could be used against you. You're absolutely right.
Got it. Part of the article that I have in front of me deals with identity and cyber theft. How to protect yourself. Give us a little insight on that, if you could. We're talking with Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man.
Well, I mean, a lot of this has to do with things that we could do to protect ourselves that people don't. This is actually the longest article I ever wrote in my life, 2,900 words. We try to cover everything. We don't put security software on our smartphones, and we don't keep the security on our desktops updated. You know, you have to update all the software all the time. It should be set to automatic updating because a lot of the updates aren't for productivity. They're for the secure patches, put patches in to secure gaps in the software. A lot of people don't put it on their mobile device. It's like your whole life is on your phone. Put security software on your device. A lot of them are on there now. I have one called Lookout. There's one, and I know the Norton people are making it now. Not only does this thing help block robocalls, if my phone is stolen, I can lock it remotely. I can find it remotely. I can wipe the hard drive remotely. Again, my whole life is on that mobile device. So you need security software on your phone. Make sure your apps are updating everything, not just the operating system, your apps, your programs, all of those could have some kind of vulnerability that needs to be updated. Set it to automatically update and you'll take care of that. The other thing, the big one, is passwords. I mean, I publish a list every year of the worst passwords, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, people who think they're really being clever, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, con artists know those. They don't even do them anymore. They have algorithms. They set the computer to run. They go to sleep at night. The algorithm runs millions and millions of potential passwords. And when they wake up and have their cup of coffee in the morning, it's like, okay, here's the ones we cracked, and you can use these people's account. And as they get more and more sophisticated, passwords are getting less and less valuable to protect you. So, yes, you need to have a strong passwords on all of your accounts, a different one for each, especially your more important accounts, financial accounts and social media, that kind of thing. Long, strong, 16 to 20 words, numbers, letters, up or lower, nothing obvious. But the key is you've got to have two-party or multi-factor authentication, something else that verifies you in case the bad guys crack your password, whether that's a text to your phone, an email to your phone, an authenticating app that's on your device, which maybe use a fingerprint or something like that. I have that on every single financial account and my social media accounts now, because those are the ones that these guys are after. Odds are they're not going to have my computer or my laptop or my phone when the authentication comes in. And the guys at Microsoft, I talked to their top security people for a story recently, and they said, the worst password, 123456, with multi-factor authentication is stronger than the strongest password in the world, 20 numbers and letters, upper, lower, everything, and note a multi-factor authentication.
Wow.
That gives you some idea of how important it is to set that up. That will stop, they say, 99% of the chances of somebody breaking into your account. So if you're checking account, your bank account, your credit card account, your whatever account, it is, your social media account offers two-factor or multi-factor authentication, 2FA or MFA, set it up and do it right away, because that will give you so much more protection than even the best password in the world.
Great advice, Herb. Thank you so much for joining us. Herb Weisbaum, The Consumer Man, Facebook, Twitter, consumerman.com is where you find him. Herb, thank you for taking the time with us here at WGN.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome.